Hello, my name is Vesa Juvonen, and in this video we will have a closer look on how we can enable hybrid site collection provisioning, but not in a typical way, more about how can we actually take advantage of the app model hosting within the Microsoft Azure, but then provision site collection to the on-premises without any app model requirements and without any additional app model infrastructure requirements in the on-prem. And the reason why this is actually pretty interesting technology is that we're taking advantage of this hybrid model, in this case, to provision site collection from the cloud to the on-prem without any requirements to have any reverse proxies enabled or exposed from the on-premises. We're just taking advantage of the Microsoft Azure Service Bus technology. And the model can be certainly used for many, many other things as well. So in this case, we're actually calling the on-premises to create site collection, and then we're returning data back when the site collection has been created. But the same model could be used to link into LOB system in on-premises or do whatever additional settings or additional requirements which you might have related on your business integration. And the key point here, I like to mention, we don't need to have any DMZ endpoints or internet endpoints exposed from the on-premises. We can do this only by using the Microsoft Azure technology. And so let's have a look on how this can be done. So the example what we're gonna actually use in here is part of the Office 365 developer patterns and practices. So if I go to underneath the samples, and samples are individual, essentially F5 samples, you might need to do some configuration. In here we have quite a few provisioning solutions, and this one is the provisioning.hybrid.simple. The name is provisioning.hybrid.simple. It's not super, super simple, but it's as simple as it goes related on setting up a hybrid site collection creation for on-premises or within the cloud. And what I've done here is that I've already pulled down the GitHub, or I'm using a GitHub source tree. So I've already taken the source code down, the latest version of the source code. And essentially we start configuring what needs to be done. So we're able to make sure that the on-premises site collection creation works properly. One thing what we need for doing this is also the Azure, Microsoft Azure PowerShell. So there is an good article on the Azure site, how to install and configure Azure PowerShell, which you can easily find from the end using any of the search engines by using that title. And let's actually go to the Visual Studio side before we start really truly setting up things. And let's walk through the solution structure. So this is as simplistic as it goes from a hybrid setup perspective. This is not a super simple solution. Many of the patterns and practices guidance solutions are much more simplified because they want to concentrate on showing a pattern, not being necessarily production ready, because it's rather for giving you the starting point, how to get started on a particular pattern or approach. Let's walk through the solutions here or structure. So obviously we have the readme.md file, which is typical. So we have a file which is having all the setup descriptions and instructions how to do what I'm doing in this video as well. We also have a helper project, which is provisioning hybrid simple console send message. And this is essentially used to verify that the on-premises connectivity is working properly. So we don't have to run or deploy anything to the Microsoft Azure to make sure that that connectivity from the cloud to the on-premises is working properly. And we're going to use that one during the demo as well. Then we have here a PowerShell script, which says increase on-prem timeouts. And let's actually open up that one and have a look on the PowerShell. So this is for increasing the on-premises CSAM timeout. So by default, the timeout for any operation in on-premises is 90 seconds. We can go and run this PowerShell, and essentially what we do is that we manipulate the client callable setting property to adjust that to be slightly bigger. In this particular case, we're adding that to be 5 minutes. And the whole point is that we want to make sure that that site collection creation is fully completed, so we're able to respond back on the cloud that, okay, we have a site collection and this is the URL of the site collection. Now it's created and it's ready to go. And because in 90 seconds, quite often, you actually don't get the site collection created, especially if you're applying a branding or additional settings on that site collection. Then what else do we have on the solution structure? We have the app project. So that's the app project for the UI, where end user can go and request the new site collection, and where we have a selection, is it the cloud or on-prem? We have a common component, which is having shared classes, and also actually business logic is stored there, for the cloud and the cloud operation. We have simple.onprem, and this is the on-premises service. So this is the fellow which we will install in on-premises, which will connect to the Azure, and therefore it will have a two-directional communication channel with Azure and waiting for commands, actually to start site collection creation. And essentially this is the fellow why we don't need to have any internet endpoints exposed in the on-premises, because that fellow is taking care of that one. We'll have a look on the code slightly later. Then we have a web job, and this is essentially the asynchronous process which is running in Microsoft Azure, making then the decisions that am I going to create a site collection to the cloud, and if it's to the cloud, I'm going to create the site collection directly to the Office 365. But if it's in on-premises, I'm going to call the service bus, which is then going to bypass the call to the on-premises service. So this is the asynchronous process which is running in the cloud based on the UI entries. So in the simple web, we have the actual UI, when people can go and fill up the form and say submit, which is saying store my request. And that essentially, from end user perspective, the request is stored. And then we move on the following step, which is that our asynchronous web job, it will be started automatically based on a storage queue configuration. And what I'm going to do in this video is that I'm actually walk through all of this configuration and show you how these things are actually then working in practice. And the video is relatively long, but we wanted to make sure that everything is shown, so you're able to then go back on the video and maybe move between the minutes and make sure that you're able to find what, if you have any issues, to set things up. In here, I have already Microsoft Azure enabled or connectivity enabled in a slightly different browser. What we need to have is two different things for setting up these things, setting up the whole, well, actually three different things for the full demo and full deployment. And let's actually do the whole thing. We need to have a service bus, we need to have storage queue, and then we need to have a website which is hosting that synchronous web job, which will then be processing those incoming requests from the end users. Let's start with the service bus. So let's actually go to the service bus. I do have one of my service bus settings already available, which has been already created. So I can actually open up that one, and we're able to see that it's a typical service bus endpoint. Actually, let's go back here. And we're able to see that it's a type of messaging. And what's kind of an interesting on this one is that if we create a service bus using the UI in the Microsoft Azure, you can't actually get a service bus which is an ACS service bus. And you need to have an ACS service bus to be able to use that for the message relay approach, which is needed for this hybrid solution. And for some reason or another, let's not go there, and let's not think about why, but you can't actually create them from the UI. That means that we need to actually create that for using a PowerShell. And for the PowerShell, we are able to use then the Microsoft Azure PowerShell. I'm going to slightly modify the fonts for this one. Let's take the properties and let's do slightly bigger, so we're able to then see what I'm actually writing on the PowerShell. I'm going to slightly cheat. I'm going to just some of the things I'm going to actually copy from my OneNote, FunNote memos. But let's first do add Azure connection or Azure account, which is essentially giving me then the connectivity to the Azure. So this is essentially making me connect to the Azure, or the session within the PowerShell will be then connected using the right account and the right account. In this case, I'm going to use my personal MSDN subscription, and let's sign in. And it takes a while, but after a while, it's then ready for the connectivity, and it's going to indicate that we have a connectivity to the cloud. Good. Then what we want to do is that we want to essentially create a new Azure service, Azure SB namespace. And we want to call that, let's call that, for example, Office 365 PNP demo. Let's make sure that it's located somewhere close to your location. Again, it depends where you are located. I'm going to use Western Europe because that's close where I'm actually located. I'm going to create ACS namespace as well. And that was the point what is needed to make the service relay to work. So let's actually add that one in. And there we go. And then let's do namespace type, which is messaging. So we are actually creating the right kind of a service bus namespace for our usage. And this one will be then used by the connectivity from the cloud to the on-prem and on-prem to the cloud. So essentially, it's a two-dimensional or two-directional connection channel, which the fellows can actually then talk between each other. And after we get this one created, let's go to the UI and make sure that we get the connectivity to work. So we have a connection string, and there's our shared key, and there's our connectivity endpoint available. And no worries, I'm going to delete this one immediately after the demo, so no worries that you're actually able to see my secrets. So now if I go to the Azure side, it's already visible there. That's activating. What I'm going to actually do is that I'm going to get the connection information available from that. I'm just going to copy that information directly from using the Azure UI whenever the activation is completed. It shouldn't actually take that long. There we go. So we're able to get the connection information available. And I'm going to actually, there we go. Now we have all the right things available. We need to have the default key, and we need to have the connection string for the endpoint itself. So let's actually start deploying this. Let's make sure that we get the connectivity against the on-premises to work. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to quickly build a solution. And because this is a simple solution, I'm just going to essentially copy my output in a debug folder. So that was the simple.onprem. I'm going to right-click that project. There we go. Open file in the File Explorer. I'm going to go to the bin folder, and we just compiled a debug version of the stuff. There's quite a lot of stuff there, but let's not worry about that one. We're not actually, this is not about cleaning. So I'm going to actually copy that one, and then I'm going to jump on my another server, which is located in Microsoft Data Center in Helsinki. Well, actually in Espoo, which is one of the subsidiaries of Helsinki, to be precise. And what I'm doing here is that I'm copying that output from or the whole folder to that data center computer. While it's doing that, I can actually go and already configure my helper project. And that was the helper project to verify that the network connectivity or the connectivity to the on-premises will be working. So how do we verify that is that I'm using my laptop in my current location to send messages to the Microsoft Azure, and then the other side where we have that service relay endpoint where we have the on-premises connected to that same service relay that will actually receive then the messages, and then we know that everything is working properly. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to open up the app config file, and in the app config file we have the service bus namespace configuration and the secret. And as you can see, this is as simple as it actually gets, and the app config file is relatively simple as well. So what I'm going to do is that I'm copying essentially that key, and Office 365 PNP demo is the name. So let's actually make that one Office 365 PNP demo. And then I'm going to paste in the secret, and there we go. So the sending part has been unconfigured, and let's actually go to the client side. So this is essentially hosted. This fellow is hosted in the data center, and we have provisioning hybrid simple on-prem XA, and we have the XML configuration file for that one. So let's actually open up that one, and let's make sure that we have the right connections. I'm going to actually, just to make sure that I'm not mixing up anything, I'm going to close the Visual Studio and open only that file, so you don't have to worry about any of the other files within the Visual Studio. Quickly put it slightly bigger. So this is now the client side. So this is the fellow which is running in the on-premises side. And in here, we also need to get the secret in, and essentially then the Office 365 PNP demo. Did I actually get it right? Office 365 PND into demo. Yes, I got it right. The other settings what we have in this config file is then the provisioning account and provisioning domain and provisioning password. Essentially, which is that account which you want to use in the on-premises farm to create those site collections? And where do we have an admin site collection URL? And also what is the leading URL for site collections, essentially meaning that right now in this particular demo, we're going to create site collections underneath the dept.contoso.com/sites and then a unique GUID. So we're randomizing the URL. There's multiple different patterns how you can come up with the URL, and you can even go and check if the on-premises farm already has the URL taken. In this demo, we wanted to keep everything simple. It's just randomizing the URL based on GUID. But essentially, you need to verify that these settings are matching to your on-premises farm. But after that's done, I'm going to save the settings. And then if everything is now configured properly, I can just start that provisioning hybrid simple exe. And that's essentially my on-premises site client, which will be then running in the on-premises. So let's double click that one. And did it actually take my double click? It probably didn't. There we go. And it starts running. And it connects to the Azure, Microsoft Azure, using that connectivity endpoint and connectivity information, which we entered in the app config of that file. So let's actually keep that one cleared. I'm going to go and close everything so you can easily concentrate on actually what's available. Let's clear actually the background as well. There we go. So that's our endpoint in the on-premises. And now if everything is configured properly with the Microsoft Azure and the configurations in the app config file for this helper project as well, I can actually now test sending commands to the on-premises, which will then be processed by that endpoint. And in my helper project, what we're doing is that we're taking advantage of the business component, component here. So let's actually do right click and debug and start new instance. And I'm going to walk through the code. So this particular project has been is referencing the right Microsoft Azure assemblies or the NuGet packages. And there's our console application. It's going to send this message, test message sent at 145701. It's going to send that using a send message method. I'm going to walk into that code. I'm briefly going to resize this slightly. There we go. What we're doing here is that we're creating a channel to the service bus with the given information. So in this case, we're using that Office 365 BMP demo namespace. Then we open up a endpoint with the right secret, which was configured also in the app configuration file. And then I have a method called sendMessage within my endpoint. And this is just a let's say, testing method. So I don't need to always create a new site collection every single time I called. I want to test that everything is working. This is just a sending message to the on-premises. And there we go. It actually starts sending. And I can open up my on-premises on site by site. And if everything is working properly, we are actually getting return messages back. So right now, you can actually see that. Got message, test message sent back. So we got a response from the other side. So let's have a look on here. In my on-premises, we're able to see got message sent at 1457. And then it essentially relayed the message back from the on-premises. So this means that now the connectivity is working properly. So the service bus configuration is absolutely up and running. Everything is working properly within the on-premises. So now we're good to go for actually creating the site collections if we want. Moving on the send message or the tester class, this one you can also, if you want, I'm not going to actually do this one because it takes a while and I don't want to spend time on doing that. You're able to send a request to create a site collection request to create a new site collection to the on-premises. But I don't want to actually do that. Well, actually, let's actually do that. Do we want to do that? It takes a while, but it doesn't take too long. And we can actually go to the Microsoft Azure and start configuring the following step, what is needed for the service bus, which is the service, the storage queues. So I'm going to press F5. it's going to send a new request for create a new site collection on certain time, and it's going to send that using the service bus channel. I'm doing F5. So send request to create new site collection in my site. Let's jump on that server side in the on-premises. Got a request to process site with the title of new site and with the template of STS01. So essentially now my on-premises engine is if everything is configured, I can make sure that my on-premises engine is able to create the site collection properly before we add the web job and the UI and all of that into account. So I'm going to leave that running now in the on-premises. That will hopefully have a green message and we're able to go and see what the site collections are looking relatively fast. But it takes a few minutes, so let's not actually wait for that one. While we're waiting, let's move back on to Microsoft Azure. The second step what we need to do, and second thing what we need to do, or what we want to do, is that we want to create a storage queue. We want to create a storage account for the Microsoft Azure, which will be used by the UI to enter a synchronous message for the web job to start executing the site collection request. And the whole point is that the end user doesn't need to wait with the GIF animation whenever the site collection is actually created. Let's actually create the site collection in a synchronous way. Let's store a message to the storage queue, which is essentially, dear SharePoint, could you create me a site collection? And then let's have a web job actually, which is eating that or eating those messages from the storage queue and start creating the site collections based on the request. So for that one, we need storage account. I'm going to create a new storage account. I have quite a few storage accounts here already, but I'm going to create a new one. So let's do a new storage, quick create. Let's call this Office 0365 PNP demo. And let's put it in Western Europe. And that's absolutely fine for otherwise. Doesn't take too long. But what we need to have for this account is actually we're interested about the storage account, and then we're interested about the access key to that storage account, which we need to configure so that the UI of the web of the web UI can actually store messages to the queue for the site collection web job to process them away. And it doesn't actually take too long to make this happen. It takes a while, but I'm going to wait for it to come back. There we go. And let's actually manage, get the access keys. And there's my storage account name. Let's copy that one. I'm going to move to the Visual Studio side. And oh yeah, that's actually executing still. So let's actually, I'm going to start configuring what needs to be done. So in my web UI, which is the provisioning.symbol.web, within the web config, we have some configurations related on storage queue, so that the UI can store that request on the storage queue. And this is also as simple as it actually gets. So you can go here and see a storage connection string. Let's actually update the account name based on my newly created account. And then we need to add the account key there as well. So I'm gonna actually go back on the Microsoft Azure and let's copy the primary access key. Copied, and let's go back on this file. And I won't be saving my changes yet because that will shut down the debugging session. I don't want to actually do that. So that's all we're going to need to have in the website. Whenever we deploy this in a debug mode, we will actually get the client ID and secret, and then we can take advantage of that one. In this particular sample, also, whenever I'm deploying my web client or the web UI, I'm actually requesting the right permissions. Essentially, the reason why I'm doing requesting this high permissions even from the UI component is just that I can use then the client ID and a secret which the Visual Studio or the SharePoint is providing to my web UI where I'm entering the request. I could just as well go to the apprec new ASPX and register that permission there as well. I'm just being lazy, this is just the easiest way to do it from a demo perspective. So in some sense, I'm being lazy, and so sorry for that. But it's asking already that right permission, and then we're going to use that client ID and a secret, which we get for that web UI to create those new site collections in the cloud if that's chosen within the UI. For on-premises, this is not relevant because in the on-premises, we use the service bus to call that service which is waiting on the on-premises side. And then that on-premises fellow will actually use just normal connectivity, normal account and a password approach, not the app model, not OAuth, nothing like that. So it doesn't require then anything in the on-premises side. Good. What else do we actually need? Let's also go and configure our web job. So one way of configuring the web job is absolutely to do the web chat configuration in the app config file. So this is our web job project. And we could actually update the app config with the right information, with the right connection strings and all of that. The reality is that you probably actually don't want to do that from here. What you want to do is provide this information within the Azure UI. So that means that then you don't actually need to store the Azure Web Jobs dashboard or client ID or client secret within your project as such, because and because you're actually storing that in the Azure side. But before we can do that in the Microsoft Azure, let's create a new, well, we could actually create that one from the Visual Studio as well whenever we get the processing back. Let's go and see where we are with the processing. There we go. Excellent. We already have a site collection created. So no new site collection created to the address. On that address, that was the message which our console sent message was already sent. So let's go and have a look on how does that site collection actually look like. And then let's make sure, let's continue with the steps of setting up the UI for Visual Studio site. So that's actually what I'm going to do is that I'm going to quickly start a notepad. And I'm going to paste that one in. I'm going to just use the notepad to format my URL. So I'm able to show you what kind of site collection did we actually get to be created. So let's paste in that URL. I'm going to close those. And this is what we're essentially getting. So we're getting pre-configured with the right branding, a team site. This doesn't actually have anything else than a custom theme and a custom logo applied. But it's looking like the whatever the imaginary garage branding has to look like. And you can absolutely add whatever content type creation, libraries, whatever additional settings within this template or within to be created. And we are obviously using the CSUM, not any web templates or site templates or WSP packages to create, get this this site to look like this one. And that's something what we teach really, really well in the PNP guidance. Good. I'm going to shut down. Let's see where the execution is actually going. It's probably actually going in here. That's my client side. I got following message back, which is essentially you got back, the client got back the URL of the site collection, which was created in on-premises. So we have the message is going from on-premises to the cloud and from cloud to the on-premises in the end. So we could actually store that URL, for example, to a site directory in the cloud if you want. Good. So we know that everything works. We know that we are able to create the stuff. And then the following step is that we are able to store that request or to create a new site collection into the queue. And what I'm going to do is that I'm going to do actually F5. So one of the things before I'm doing that, let's actually go here. I can show you one of the great things with the new Azure extensions. So with the Azure, I'm going to connect to my storage. And within my storage, let's actually not there. I need to sign in. So let's actually sign in to my Azure site. And then we have a new storage account. What was our storage account? I can't remember. Let's see. We configured that storage account to the web config in here. Let's actually save that one. And that was 0365 BNP demo. So there's our 0365 BNP demo. And right now that storage account, that's Office 365 BNP demo. And right now that storage account doesn't have any queues inside of it. So it doesn't actually have any queue listings available for requesting of the site collection. So what will happen is that I'm going to actually run through deploy the UI, and then we're able to actually see how things work. So I'm going to connect to my site collection. That should also update the web config with the right client ID and secret because it doesn't exist right now. Let's see if we can get everything up to date. And if there's any issues, we can resolve them relatively quickly as well. So it's connecting to the SharePoint. It is asking me to sign in. And in this case, I want to use my personal imaginary account or my tenant. I'm following into the dev site, and it didn't actually ask me to re-register the permissions for that particular app, which is something what I actually want it to do. So I'm going to actually cancel the execution. And what I'm going to do quickly, this is one of the tricks which you might have, if you're familiar with app model development, every now and then the Visual Studio and the trusting and all of that doesn't happen, or it might happen. There are certain timeouts and there are certain reasons why that happens. Not going to go on them. Easiest way to resolve them is to go and update the version to be 1.001 as an example. And then when you deploy, that will force SharePoint to do and the Visual Studio to do redeployment and retrusting. And like you can see, actually the client secret was already updated, and we should be getting the client ID in the UI as well. And there we go. Web config updated with the client ID of something. It's now updated. There we go. There's our new client ID. And now whenever the browser is starting, it's going to ask me to trust that client ID and that client secret one more time. So let's actually sign in using that VSCO Online account. And then it's not going to ask me those permissions. So as I said, I could ask these permissions using for my web job, just using the apt-get new or apt-inv ASPX. But in this case, I'm just being convenient. So I'm asking actually pretty high permissions for the UI itself. The UI itself actually doesn't require these permissions. The permissions are required then for the web job, which is the one which is asynchronously processing those requests, which will be spinned up by the web job. And the UI for creating a new site collection is also relatively simple. So I can do a PnP demo cloud as the title. I can select what is the template for the requested site collection, and then I can say is it cloud or on premises. So for quickly showing the difference, I'm going to do cloud, which means that it will actually add a new cloud entry to the storage queue. For requesting a new cloud site collection to be created. And this is the end user experience. So essentially now I'm free to do whatever I want, but it's going to send a site email then. Well, it could send an email to the site collection administrator. It took me automatically as the site collection administrator. Just as well, you could use a people picker from the PnP guidance or some additional metadata, whatever is needed for your business case. As mentioned, we're trying to keep this as simple as possible. So there's a request stored, recorded, and we're going to click proceed. I'm going to go and actually create another request to the queue, and then we can go and have a look on the queue. What does it actually mean? But only adding the fact that we added that storage connection string, updated that storage information, the account key and account name, we essentially have now the code within the solution, which is then adding. Actually, let's have a look on that one, which is then adding that new request to the queue. So I'm going to put a breakpoint here for my following step. So let's actually add a breakpoint. There it is. Moving here, I'm going to go back on my provisioning hybrid simple. And then I'm gonna select that. Let's not actually create a site collection to the cloud. Let's create a new PnP demo to on-prem. I'm interested on creating stuff to the on-prem. So my site target is on-prem. And the key point here is that this is a properly hosted application. It will be then running in Microsoft Azure. So you don't have to have any app model infrastructure in the on-premises. You just have to have that host for the service which is connecting to the Azure, and that host could be your SharePoint server. You don't have to essentially have a separate host for running that service, and you could have multiple. There's an automatic load balancing on the request as well. So let's request a on-premises site, and let's click create. And I'm gonna let's have a look on what's actually happening on the code for adding that item to the queue. So first of all, we're gonna resolve who's the current user, because we want to get the email address from the current user. So we are able to resolve who's the person who's actually requesting this new site collection. And then we take advantage of the Azure AD, Microsoft Azure APIs. So we're taking access to the cloud storage, and then within the cloud storage, we will create a new cloud storage with the name of site collection request. A new cloud storage queue with the name of site collection request. And we're going to create that if it doesn't exist. In this case, it actually already exists because we just executed this code one step before. But it's going to connect to the Azure storage queue using that information from the web config. Where do we have that one? Well, it's actually getting that cloud storage account, and it's parsing that storage connection string in here. And then we're adding a request to create a new site collection request to that storage queue. And there's my data object, and then I'm going to serialize that one and add it to the queue in the storage queue. And that's it. Now the items are in the storage queue. Or are they? So let's actually go and have a look on that one. So now I'm going to pause the process. I'm going to stop the debugging because there's no point actually running the Visual Studio. And if we go to our Server Explorer, open up the Azure and the queues, and if we do refresh, underneath the Office 365 BNB demo, we're able to actually see Site Request Queue. And then I can actually even open up that one. And in my queue, I have now two different items. I have a queue where the first one is a BNB demo to the cloud with the template of Contoso collaboration. And then we're going to resolve in our code what does it actually mean. Target environment cloud. Then the other one which is in the queue is BNB demo for on-premises template Contoso collaboration as well. But target environment is on-premises. So essentially, that's then in the queue for waiting to be processed for on-premises. Right now, we didn't have any web job associated to this queue. So that's the reason why these messages are actually queued within the storage queue. In the real world, you would actually have this web job deployed, which we have in here. And let's have a look on the web job implementation. Web jobs are basically console applications, which is pretty cool. But this is continuously running console application. And what it means is that within our main process, we're just adding that web host or job host running there and run and plug running that one. So it actually is running there continuously within the Microsoft Azure when it's deployed. And this is the main process isn't actually processing those requests. What we need to do is then implement the actual storage queue association. And this is what we have here. So the only thing what we need to do is to have the right method and right attributes, which in this case is the queue trigger storage queue name, which is essentially pointing to that same storage queue name what we had, which is the site collection request. And in our app web job, we obviously need to also configure the connectivity to the Azure web job dashboard, Azure web job storage. And this is where we will add the connectivity endpoint and the secret matching that endpoint what we have in the Azure. So we can absolutely do that in here as well. So let's actually do that one. I'm going to show how to override this in the Azure after a second. So I'm going to take that account name, moving back on the web config. I'm going to, this web config, yes. So let's add that one in. There we go. And I'm pasting, just moving or updating the items. Come on. There we go. And let's update that one there as well. And then we need to have the storage secret. I'm going to go to the web config and actually copy that one as well. That's essentially the account key, what we copied from the Microsoft Azure as well. So let's copy that one and put it in the app config as well. Well, it is account key equals, and then I'm using old terminology with a storage key. And here, there we go. Now we essentially associate the storage, a web chart, to be dependent on that one. We also need to update the service bus namespace and the service bus secret. So let's actually copy those from our helper project, because we know that those settings are correct. Service bus namespace. So I'm going to move back on the app config, service bus namespace, and then my service bus secret. Can I actually copy that? Move back to the app config. There we go. So that's also done. Then we need to, for cloud, create a site collection. It's just, again, dependent on the code. We need to set up what is our Office 365 tenant name. In my case, it's Vesa J, as being Vesa Juvonen. And in your case, it's probably something else, so I need to update that one. Then we need to also give the client ID and secret. And this is the part which I said you could go absolutely and register a client ID and a secret and provide the permissions to the client ID and secret using the app in ASPX page. What I'm doing here is just from a simplicity perspective, I'm going to actually copy the same client ID and a secret, which I actually requested the right tenant permissions already, which was the UI. So I'm going to use those client ID and secret also within my web job. There we go. And now it's essentially ready to be deployed. So there's a few ways. Obviously, I could mimic and execute the code, the needed code. Depending on my function and implementation, I probably should actually add the whole business logic of creating site collections to somewhere else, like we're doing, or requesting a site collection creation to somewhere else. In this case, the site collection creation for cloud is still located in the web job, which means that the only way I can actually test this code is by deploying the web job, which isn't actually that productive way of doing that. So definitely call a business or component or business object. In this case, we wanted to keep the project number slightly limited, because this is supposed to be a simple solution. So we didn't want to actually include additional projects in the solution. What I'm doing here, what I'm doing next, is that I'm right-clicking the web job, and then I'm actually deploying this as a new Azure web job to the cloud, which is absolutely excellent capability, what we have now within the Visual Studio. So I'm going to right-click that one. What I'm going to do is that I'm going to actually change my profile. I'm going to actually connect to my Microsoft Azure account. And I'm going to create a new website. Let's call this website as O365 BNP Hybrid Demo. There we go. Let's put that one in Western Europe as well. No databases needed. We're fine. Let's create. Click Create. So what's going to happen now is that we're creating that website which will host our web job. And it's kind of a funny thing that you need to have a web job which is hosting your asynchronous process. But that's just the way it's implemented. And then now my web job has been created. There's my connectivity information for my web job, for my website, and then my web job will be deployed to the website. Let's go one step further. Well, actually, let's click publish. And what will happen is that our web job and the information within the web job will be then deployed under the Microsoft Azure. One note on this one. So for this particular fellow, we have already, for example, the Microsoft SharePoint client, Microsoft SharePoint, all of these client-side APIs, they have been marked already as copy local. So let's actually go here. You're able to see that the copy local attribute has been set true. And this means that it will be automatically copied to the Microsoft Azure. That's not the case by default. And that the reason for that one is simply because you have to get that assembly to the Microsoft Azure so it's working properly, because in the Microsoft Azure, they don't have Microsoft SharePoint client by default in every single website. So the web publish activity is running. While that's running, let's actually go to the Firefox side, make sure that, where do we have the site here? We're able to actually see the site now created. That was, what was it called? It was called something else than this. Let's actually wait for the site to be created. So let's update the page. This doesn't take again too long. Refreshing, nice GIF animation. There's our newly added site, Office 365 BNP hybrid demo, and that's essentially the website which will be hosting our web job. Now, if I go to the website, the web job site, we're able to probably already see that continuous web job deployed in here. There's quite a lot of files which is actually pushing in, so let's see if the files has been already added. So no, not yet. So the website has been already deployed, but the Visual Studio is still working on its magic for the initial deployment. So the initial deployment does take a while to get deployed on the other side. And do we actually, if I remember correctly, I can't remember, do we actually get additional details other than we should be getting additional details in here quite fast. At the same time, we are able to see the website in the Firefox. We are absolutely able to see the website also in the Microsoft Azure site in here. So there's my Office 365 BNP hybrid demo. If I expand that one, we can see web job nodes. I'm gonna zoom in quite fast, and we are able to see. Can we already see that web job? No, we can't. But we're able to expand on all of the websites and all of the settings what we have within the Azure site. So the one thing what I actually mentioned already is that you probably don't want to put all of your configurations in the app config in here, or you might. But then if something changes, like the client ID changes or your storage queue changes, you don't have to always redeploy. What you can do is actually go to the Microsoft Azure site, go to the configure section, and add the necessary client ID and client secret in here. So if I scroll down slowly, there we go. There's my app settings. So we can actually do something like client ID and then add a value for the client ID. And this will then override whatever we have within the web config or app config deployed using the Visual Studio. So therefore, you're able to manipulate these settings directly within the UI without redeploying the solution in every single time if the client ID and secret is changing. So let's not actually add that one there, because we should have the right values whenever we get the Visual Studio to deploy the right solutions to the Microsoft Azure site. I'm gonna quickly double check. Did we already get the web job to be visible? If it's not visible, I'm gonna pause the recording for a while to see how fast we can actually get the stuff in. So let's do this. I'm gonna pause the recording and I'm gonna wait and double check whenever the web job is truly available again on this page. And just that I guessed, it precisely took actually one refresh and the web job was available within the site. But now what we can see here is that we have a web job which is actually running in the running state. And essentially what it means is that the web job is all the time running and it's waiting for those items within the queue. What's really cool about the web job is also that the locking, the logs which and the troubleshooting and all the information is extremely well available. So I'm gonna click, gonna actually go back in here for one more time. I'm gonna click that logs link on the right side of the window, delete that one, so we're able to actually see all of the different logging information what is available. Let's see what do we actually have here. The dashboard information doesn't seem right. Well, that's not a major deal. We're able to see. There we go. Executing process queue message because a new queue message detected in the site collection request queue. So essentially what's happening now is that our web job is automatically being executed based on those two messages which we have already within the queue, which we created using the UI. And all of the executions are being properly tracked. And obviously for all of the configurations, this would be looking slightly different. You would have additional information. Right now, I have a seem to have a small typo in the connectivity information, which is slightly weird actually that it would be the case. Let's click here. I'm able to see the web jobs. Let's one more time. I'm able to see most likely that the request has been processed. Provisioning hybrid process queue message, which is correct, and that's fine. and it's restarting. Interesting. Let's see what we actually did. We have an exception here. Thread was being aborted. So we actually do have some sort of an exception for one reason or another. But do my mistake within the configuration. It doesn't seem to work properly. I'm gonna actually come here. It's in a running stage. Let's go and check what we have in the on-premises side. So I'm gonna actually sign into my on-premises server. Did we get any messages? We actually did. So that's a new site collection request, BNP demo to on-prem, and a template was Contoso collaboration. So that's absolutely available. I'm going to just quickly again make sure that that has the right title, that you're believing that is actually with the right title. I'm not fooling. It's not magic. It's pixie dust. There we go. And let's actually copy the URL to make sure that that has the same title which we pasted in previously within the video. So here we go. And it should have then the BNP on-prem demo to on-premises. That was successful. Excellent. That's working. So the connectivity and the creation of site collection to the on-premises is working properly. No problems with that one. Let's also go and check quickly what do we have on the Office 365 side, which might be actually the side which had some issues. So let's actually see if we did we get new site collections created there as well. So I'm going to quickly sign in to my Office 365 site. So that was for the selection. If you selected that, I want to actually create the site collection to the cloud. And if everything is properly configured, we should be able to see new site collections within the central admin, or well, tenant admin. It's not a central admin. And underneath the SharePoint administration, we're able to see all of the different site collections, what I have currently within this particular tenant, which is actually not a small list of items. But let's try to figure out which of them, or which is the one which we just added to the store queue. And let's actually see. We have one request over there and one request over there, which is using the GUID. And there's actually quite a few of them. And these don't actually, unfortunately, have the creation time, so I can't actually verify which one is the one which we created using just the message, just to verify that did we actually get it or not. Quickly gonna paste in to the cloud, and that's the, I think we had something related on BNP to the cloud, unless I'm mistaken. Gonna quickly, that's also the cloud. But if everything is to cloud, it might be that there's a typo on the title handling. It might be actually the case. Good. I'm not going to actually spend too much time on troubleshooting the issue because that's not really, really beneficial. That's not the point of the thing. We can certainly create site collections within the cloud towards the cloud using the Azure sign. The web tab, you can actually, as long as you have the configuration properly done in the logs or within this site, actually want to make sure that that's properly deployed. So let's make sure, and let's go and have a look on what's the issue with this one. And let's go to Visual Studio. And let's open up the app config. And what is actually wrong? We should have the right value and with an account equals, and that's precisely correct. But for some reason, I'm not actually getting all the necessary information related on the WebChat dashboard, which is pity because it's actually giving us additional details. I'm not going to troubleshoot that right now. We can you can whenever you set this one up by yourself, you can actually figure out and see how this one is behaving, and also then you're able to see that additional information related on executions of the items. Good. I think that's enough. A pretty long video, but essentially we were able to show you how you can create new site collections to the on-premises without any remote reverse proxy endpoints in the on-premises. We're taking advantage of that service bus, and I walked through the whole deployment scenario. So what I need to do actually get this one deployed. The only thing what I didn't do or deployed really is the UI. So the actual UI for end users to then go and request actual sites, but that's pretty much a typical deployment scenario when we take a Microsoft Azure provider hosted application and release that within the Azure. So there's nothing new on that one. So we concentrated more about the storage queue, the asynchronous behavior with the web job, and that behavior, that's awesome capability, which can be used, for example, with event receivers or remote event receivers and so on. And also what is needed for the service bus perspective. Hopefully the video is interesting and useful, and we will definitely associate the needed guidance also in a written format for this particular example in our patterns and practices guidance. If you have any questions, please use our Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices Yammer group, which is essentially AKMS/Office Dev Yammer. So moving there, and you will land in the Office 365 network. And to our Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices Yammer group for any questions, any comments. This is highly, highly active group. In my particular case, I'm now actually running in the identity of my custom tenant, so therefore I couldn't actually get in. But you do remember that address, aka Office 365 Dev BNP. Which is the address for you to get and find easily the Patterns and Practices Yammer group. It has more than 1,800 attendees or members, and there's a highly active discussion within that group. So that's all. That was provisioning.hybrid simple. Simple as it actually gets with the hybrid scenarios, so not super simple, but you hopefully were able to figure out what I'm doing. And ask those questions, and we are more than happy to help you on setting this one up within your deployment. Thanks for your time.